Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Come in. No E.G. Marshall am I. Nope. I'm Dale Kay from Spook Show here at Erie House Old Time Radio, and I am accompanied by...
Oh, wait a second. I can't say anything yet. My timer says we're not on the air for another 15 seconds yet. Okay. Almost
Your
there.
Timer live.
Almost there. Almost there. Okay. I am Dave Bickley from Weird History Family and Spaceship One.
That's right. And we are, we're happy to tell you that death has come to Erie House Radio. Fortunately,
but we mean that in a good way. Yes.
Well, yes, in the entertainment sense only, we hope. None of us are getting any younger. And Gar is not feeling well today. We hope that he is on the mend soon, because it looks like he's playing something out of the archives for Horrible Horror tonight after our show is done at 8 o'clock.
Yes. He's got some... Well, we're not going to say what's going on with them, but we're being the friends that we are. We know what's going on, and we just say, hey, buddy, hang in there.
That's right. Get
stop
well
playing
soon
soccer.
Yeah.
Stop playing soccer. Yeah.
Footsie.
I don't know if Gar plays any sports. What would a ghoul play for sport? He could be a ghoulie on a hockey team, right? Right?
Yeah, he could be a ghoulie or a ghoul tender. Yeah.
Or a ghoul tender, yeah. you know, he could do a NASCAR if it was a dead heat, you know?
Yep, he could be involved in that.
Let's
see what else. In basketball, he could be a referee and call all the dead ball fouls.
There you go. Yeah.
There you go.
And, you know, that means he could be a line judge in tennis, and he could tell you when the ball is out.
Yes. And we've got we're running out of Jeff puns. So we should probably make mention of our radio program for tonight. The Many Means of Death from CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Yes, and I listen to it. I'm still trying to work on a moral for it. It might come to me as the show comes along. I listened to it again last night, and I still didn't come up with anything for it yet. So it could be, We'll have something by the end of the program. But what we do have is another program out of Seattle. So you know, there's going to be plenty of commercials of the day that come through there. So.
And we got Death Fast Game Fest tonight too, right, Dave?
We do. Yes, my pages are froze. We're froze up. I got them unlogged and ready to bring in some Death Facts, Dave Facts, and Dale. You yourself have been doing some research, have you not?
Well, in light of the fact that our programs, the radio program we're playing tonight is entitled "The Many Names of Death." I sat there wondering, I wonder how many different ways there have been to express the entity or maybe just the concept of death. You know, like here in the States, we call him the Grim Reaper. Well, we'll get into more of those later on in the show, time permitting.
Yep. And of course, that was a great episode of Karloff's thriller TV series. Was William Shatner in an episode called The Grim Reaper. Wonderful episode. He did two of those, and he did what? Two Twilight Zones and two thrillers. And I'm sure he did a Hitchcock. He was, as long as Hitchcock was on.
Sure. And let us not forget the adaptation of death as portrayed in The Twilight Zone by a very, very young Robert Redford.
That's true. And in the redo, when the W, I don't know, was it CW or the, what was it, the WB,
WB
redid it, that was one of the few few episodes really worth even talking about. Actually, one of two episodes worth talking about. The first one we have talked about was the It's Still a Good Life that had Billy Mooney and his daughter in it. And the other one was Jason Alexander, who, of course, was Seinfeld's buddy. He was Death in an episode of that. And
I think I saw that one. It was pretty good.
He retired. It was a very good episode. I have the whole series, and that's really the only two that I feel are really worthy off the top of my head of being Twilight Zones.
Yeah, and I agree with you. That particular run of the Twilight Zone, there weren't that many good ones, but those two stand out.
Well, and it's not that they were bad stories necessarily, but they weren't Twilight Zone stories.
Yeah.
You know, there's a difference there between being a good story and being a Twilight Zone story. You know, we were talking a bit last night about how the golden age of television was with the great anthology shows. What we didn't talk about is just before those shows came about, the great anthology programs of Westing, the Desilu Playhouse, the Western House Playhouse, the Playhouse 90, all these different things. They had great writing, they had great stories, and they always had morals to it. You know, and all the way up through the original Outer Limits. That's why I kind of have trouble with the new Outer Limits to a point, because you know the original ones were cool, but they were morality plays.
Yeah.
And the new ones that came along weren't morality plays. They were just, there were some good stories. There were some really good stories, but again, were they really Outer Limits? Then my answer is,
you mean
they're
the Twilight
good stories,
Zone, yeah.
But they weren't. Well, no, I mean, I'm even talking the Outer Limits. So when Showtime started or HBO, one or the other, I think it was Showtime picked them up for a while. Then they got picked up by Sci-Fi Channel for a short time. And even those weren't really up to the par of what the original intent, I think, of the Outer Limits were. Even though Leslie Stevens was one of the quote-unquote supervisor of productions, that kind of a thing.
Yeah, and as we know, he did a lot of the original Outer Limits series.
Yeah.
But we got radio tonight.
Yep,
we do
have radio tonight. I'm sorry.
No, this one's a thriller, and I can't wait to get to it. A creepy story, again called The Many Names of Death. We got an original broadcast date for this bad boy.
We do. Let me pull it. I'm sorry.
Nothing to be sorry for. We got a lot of fun to have tonight, too.
We do. What the heck happened to it?
We'll
go this way. Wait. Here we go. Part one, and the date was, I knew this. What was the matter with me? January 5th of 1975.
In downtown Seattle, currently 43 degrees, it's 41 at the airport. From the Department of Highways, on the passes, Stevens Pass, chains are required. Snoqualmie Pass, highway is bare with compact snow and ice in places. The time at KIXI, now 7 minutes past 10.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall. As the poet says, let us fill the cup. What are you having? How about equal parts suspense and mystery, with just a dash of terror and chill to taste? So, they say that a lie is only the truth in masquerade. But does the opposite also hold? Can we say that the truth is a lie in masquerade? What is masquerade? Well, for that matter, what is reality? Who are we? Who do we really see when we look in the mirror? The image that gazes steadily back at us, that anticipates our every move, our every breath. Who is it? Or what is it?
Darling.
Hello, dear.
Dinner ready?
No.
Oh, you plan for us to dine out?
No, Gerald.
Well, why isn't dinner ready, then?
I haven't had a chance to prepare it. I was busy.
Doing what, Cecily?
Oh, learning how to load.
What are you doing with that pistol?
Learning how to aim.
Cecily, don't point that at me.
And learning how to fire.
Why, Cecily? What?
Our mystery drama, The Many Names of Death, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Alexander Scourby. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Contac, the 12-hour cold capsule. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Who knows what troubles lurk in the hearts and minds of consumers? The man from the Metabusiness Bureau knows.
Oh, Irene! This new sofa is gone already, and...
Why, what's that inside the cushion, John? It's... Oh, my heavens, it's crumpled newspaper. How did we ever buy a sofa like this? What can we do?
I'll tell you what to do.
Who are you, sir?
I'm the man from your Better Business Bureau. When you shop for furniture, it's what's inside that counts. Fancy coverings can hide a variety of shoddy workmanship. Read the law label that must be stitched to the furniture. It will tell you the filler material used and buy from a reputable dealer.
Oh, thank you, sir. We'll know better next time.
Not at all, ma'am. Just another tip from your Better Business Bureau.
You know how it is with some people. They go along for years in a groove, a routine, or a rut. Characterize it any way you like. 10, 20 years, the same job, the same apartment, same wife. It might just occur to a man to ask himself, is this all I have to look forward to? There are those men who ask this question and keep asking it. But these are the men who rarely do anything about it. It's the men who don't ask, who seemingly plod along contentedly and quietly. Oh, yes. Look out. Look out for Gerald Furlong, who fills all the specifications we have just stated.
Mr. Furlong.
Yes?
Good morning. My name is Helene LaRue.
Yes?
I'm your new secretary.
Oh.
Mr. Spruance, you know him, the personnel manager.
Yes?
Well, when I heard that old Lady McKay... Oh, I beg your pardon. Miss McKay was leaving, I asked for the job. And he said I could have it unless you had someone else in mind.
Well, I...
Actually, I'm the best typist in the pool.
Are you?
Oh, yes. You can check it. Everybody always asks for me.
Yes, but I don't...
Of course you don't know. How could you, unless we try it? What have you got to lose?
Well...
Then it's settled. Now, all you have to do is sign this memo.
What memo?
The memo to Mr. Spruance, which says you authorize my appointment as your secretary.
Yes, but I...
Now, I don't want you to think I'm pushing you or taking too much on myself. But a good secretary handles all the details, ties up all the loose ends, keeps the desk clear. And as soon as you sign that, I can call Mr. Spruance's secretary.
All right.
Ah, that's it. Yes, sir. Oh, Mr. Furlong, you do have a bold, strong handwriting. Unusual, sir, but that's to be expected.
Expected?
Oh, yes. You see, your name is Gerald.
Yes?
And do you know what the name Gerald means?
No.
Well, it's an old German name. It means strong leader of an army. Hello? Hello, this is Helene LaRue. Tell Mr. Spruance that Mr. Furlong wants me to be his secretary. The memo's on its way. Thank you.
Well, strong leader of an army.
Don't you feel like one?
I'm afraid I don't live up to my name.
Oh, you just think you don't.
My dear young lady, I know I don't.
Don't call me that. Your dear young lady.
Why? Does it offend you?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
When you call me your dear young lady, you're putting yourself down.
I'm afraid I don't understand.
Well, you make yourself sound like an old man.
Oh.
And you're not. You see, I worked in personnel. I had to check everyone's records.
Now, Miss LaRue, those records are highly confidential, and there
was... you're only 45. It's true that you look 55.
Now, Miss LaRue, one thing I frown upon in this office is the discussion of personal matters.
Of course. If you went about things differently, you would look 35.
Miss LaRue, I have some letters to dictate.
Yes, sir.
This is to Mr. Oliver Stevens at Carpenter and Stevens. You'll find the address in the files. Dear sir, pursuant to...
Yes, sir.
Read that back, huh?
All you said was, dear sir, pursuant to...
Oh, yes. Pursuant to our agreement, I must inquire of you, Miss LaRue.
Yes?
You know, you've gotten off here on the wrong foot.
But, Mr. Furlong...
I dislike flattery. I intensely dislike it. I despise it.
But I...
Please do not interrupt me. I am not a fool.
Oh! I never said you were.
Your flattery is doubly obnoxious because it's so, so...
So what, Mr. Furlong?
Because it's so extravagant, so obvious.
Oh, but I wasn't...
Look, I might tolerate flattery that's clever. But you, my dear young lady, are ludicrous.
There you go again. Calling me your dear young lady.
I'll call you anything I like. I'm your employer.
Well, why am I ludicrous?
How can you tell me that I could look like a man of 35?
Because it's true.
Do you know what 35 is?
I know what it looks like.
35? That's another world, another generation.
I know.
Tell me that I could look 35 again is... Well, it's an insult to my intelligence.
I could make you look 35.
What did you say?
Well, you'd have to dress differently, wear colors, let your hair grow long.
Miss LaRue, this conversation has become far too personal.
We can end it any time you say.
Now, pursuant to our agreement, I must inquire of you if you feel obligated to provide financing for...
Yes, Mr. Furlong.
At the risk of sounding foolish, why did you say I could look 35?
I learned something about you, Mr. Furlong.
How could you learn anything about me in so short a time?
Well, I learned that you're a man who fights against his name.
I haven't the faintest idea of what that means.
Your name, Gerald, strong leader of men.
Oh.
Well, why do you fight it? Why do you deny it? It's what you were meant to be.
Really?
It's true.
Who says so?
I do.
And how would you know?
Because I believe in nomenology.
Oh,
it's the science of names. I believe that our names tell us what we are.
I think that's ridiculous.
Do you? Well, I think birth itself is a mysterious happening. And that parents unconsciously have an insight into what their child could be, and they name him accordingly. They might not even be aware of it.
Gerald. Well, I'm certainly not a strong leader of men.
But you could be. You have it in you.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, you said that before.
I'll say it again.
Why is it any more ridiculous than any other belief? Why is it any more ridiculous than, say... astrology.
Tell me, what does Helene mean?
Light.
Hmm?
A torch. From the Greek.
Light?
Yes, light. Have I brought you any?
How is the fish, dear?
Oh, a bit bland.
Bland?
Huh?
That's odd. It's
been prepared exactly as usual, and you never complained before.
Well, it just happens to lack taste.
But you have to watch your intake of salt.
Why?
Why? Well, it's just the prudent thing, isn't it? That's what you always say.
Yes, I suppose so.
Did they replace Miss McKay?
Yes.
I hope they gave you a mature woman. You can't stand those flighty young girls. What's your new one like?
Well, I really haven't noticed yet.
Oh? How is that possible?
Oh, look, Cecily, my dear, I have so much to do, I simply can't bother to note those things that have nothing to do with business.
You are overworked, dear, that's true.
I'm aware that I have a secretary, that I dictate letters to her, that she has a name, in this case. What she looks like, well, I simply couldn't remember.
Poor dear.
Cecily, tell me something. How old do I look to you?
Why?
Oh, just curious.
I hadn't thought about it.
Well, you don't have to think about it. Just tell me.
Well, darling, you look your age.
Do I?
If anything, a bit older.
Really?
And that's been responsible for your success. A man who heads up a trust department, who's responsible for other people's money, can only inspire confidence if he looks mature and...
And settled, huh?
Oh, yes, dear, and you certainly do.
Is it possible that anyone could ever take me for, say, 35?
35? Oh, darling, I don't see how. Why do you ask?
Oh, no reason.
Are you sure?
No, please, forget it.
I simply can't imagine why you'd even ask such a strange question. Especially...
Especially what?
Especially since you're not in the habit of asking idle questions. Coffee?
No, darling. If you'll excuse me, I'll go to the library. I have some work.
Well, Gerald, this goes against everything you ever... Why, you made it almost a religion not to bring work home from the office.
Yes, dear, I know. But every religion encounters a bit of heresy now and then.
Don't stay up too late.
No, dear. I just have a few things to check out. Miss LaRue?
Oh, good evening, Mr. Furlong.
Good evening.
I was waiting for your call.
But what do you mean you were waiting for my call?
Well, then I was right. You did call, didn't you?
Well, yes. However, my secretary has to expect to work all hours, and if you object, then perhaps you'd better resign.
Oh, I don't mind. I don't mind at all. You have such a fascinating voice.
Now, see here, Miss LaRue, this is a business call.
Of course it is.
Look, I had so many things to do today that I can't recall if I sent a letter to Mr. Oliver Stevens.
Mr. Oliver Stevens of Comforter and Stevens.
That's right. Because if I forget to write one...
Well, you did, Mr. Furlong. You dictated it, and I typed it and mailed it.
Good. That is a relief. Otherwise, I'd have to call him this evening and explain that he shouldn't expect to...
Nope, the letter went out.
That's what I wanted to know.
Is there anything else?
No, I can't think of anything.
Then, good night, sir.
Good night. Just another minute. Could you tell me what the name Cecily means?
Cecily?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, sir. That's a Latin name. It means one who is in the dark or blind.
Yes, dear. Did I wake you? I'm sorry.
Oh, working at night's the worst thing in the world for your nervous system.
Yes, dear. I'll just brush my teeth and get right to bed.
Gerald. Gerald.
Who's there?
Gerald.
Who's talking to me?
Look in the mirror, Gerald.
I am. I'm looking at...
Don't you see me?
What is all this? I must be having an hallucination.
Look in the mirror, Gerald. Who do you see?
I see myself.
No, You see me.
But who are you?
The image you cast in the mirror.
That's me, isn't it?
No. That's me.
I can't believe this. I'm...
You're what? What? Drunk? You never drink. Mad? You're the sanest man in the city.
I'm seeing things. Why? What's happening to me?
That's it, Jerry. What is happening?
I've gone mad.
You will be. Soon, Jerry. Unless you fire that girl.
Which girl?
Oh, don't play games with me. I've looked at your face for the last 45 years. You have no secrets from me.
Why should I fire her?
You know why.
I don't know what you're talking about.
If you don't get rid of her, you're headed for ruin, disgrace, death.
How can you say that?
It's true. You know it's true. Don't you, Gerald? Deep down, way down, don't you know where it must end? How it must end?
Yes.
Use your common sense and fire her first thing in the morning. Will you do that, Gerald?
Yes. First thing in the morning, I'll fire her.
You look in the mirror, and a perfect stranger starts to talk to you. He wears your face, but you know he isn't you. He knows every thought in your head and every emotion in your heart, but you know he isn't you. Who is he? We shall acquire some new insights when I return shortly with Act Two.
There's nothing wrong with drinking Budweiser sip by sip, is there? Well, the brewers of Budweiser think there's a better way. Sipping's fine if you're drinking wine. But Bud is the king of beers, a hearty drink. Look, rinse a 10 or 12 ounce glass with cold water. Then open a can or bottle of Bud and pour it right down the middle so it kicks up a good head of foam. Now, take a big drink and then swallow big. No sips. That's how it should be done. More taste, more beer drinking enjoyment. Thanks to exclusive Beechwood aging, Budweiser has a smoothness that lets it go down especially easy. Sure, it's an expensive way to brew beer, but brewing beer right does make a difference. That's why when you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Says it all pretty much.
It does. Those fun commercials from the 70s, the music they had behind them and such things like that. As much fun about these mystery theaters, almost as much fun about the stories themselves. But yeah, seeing a different face in the mirror, I get scared. But the thing is, here's my secret to I have to look in the mirror once a day when I shave, and after that, I don't look in the mirror, and I know I look like George Clooney. So, you know, it works out well that way.
Yeah, I look more like Keith Richards.
Well, we see that the CW joined the group. She made it just in time for the first set of Death Facts.
Wait.
Day Facts.
Wait for the... Not yet. Nope. We gotta have a dramatic intro.
Yes, a dramatic intro. Yes.
Yeah, where is my damn dramatic intro? Okay.
Death Facts. Day Facts. Death Fact. The last words of Thomas S. were, "It is very beautiful over there." Day Fact, if Edison would have had his glasses on, he would have seen he was looking in a painting. Death Fact, as a person dies, his or her hearing is the last sense to go. Day Fact, my goodness, somebody's probably been dead for at least 7 years. Death Fact, the United States has more than five times the number of gun deaths than all Western Europe nations. Day Fact, in that case, I think Western Europe needs more guns. And Death Fact, a human head remains conscious for about 20 seconds after being decapitated. Dave fact. And it spends that 20 seconds looking back at its body and asking, does that shirt make me look fat? There we go.
Yeah. That'll just lovely.
Ooh, a double one. Yeah. Yeah, that was that's kind of a strange. Yeah, does that shirt make me look fat? I think that's what it always did.
Said the headless horseman.
I think that one of the funniest Geico commercials I ever saw that was when Abraham Lincoln was there with his wife, and good old honest Abe, and his wife says, "Does this dress make me look fat?" And all Lincoln says, "Well, well." Oh my.
Oh, I just thought of a good sequel commercial. Have George Washington there with Martha, have her say that. And have him run out and just chop down a cherry tree.
There you go.
And go run screaming into the woods or something. Ah. Right answer to some questions.
Because if you don't say anything, you're dead. If you say something, you're probably dead. Because you say you're lying, or she'll say, well, fine, if you tell her the truth. So,
whatever it is you say, it means something else than you actually meant, and then you're doomed. That's what it is. Before we get back to the many faces of, the many names of death. Yeah, there's some faces too, I suppose. But we ain't going to see them on radio. Very, very many names that death has been referred to other than, well, of course, here in the United States, we have often referred to death personified as the Grim Reaper. But in some cultures, it takes male form, and in others, it takes female form. For instance, Marzana in Slavic mythology, or Dumavati in Hindu, or even Santa Muerta down in Mexico. Just some more names for death. In the Celtic, in Breton folklore, a spectral figure called the Anku portends death. Usually the Anku is the spirit of the last person that died within the community and appears as a tall, haggard figure with a wide hat, long white hair. God, that's like me. Or a skeleton with a revolving head. Very nice. Also in Gaelic lore, a female spirit known as the Banshee, you must have heard of Banshees, who heralds the death of a person by shrieking or keening. Man, that's keen. The Banshee is also described as wearing red or green, usually with long, disheveled hair. Seen a few of those people downtown. She can appear in a variety of forms, typically that of an ugly, frightful hag, but in some stories she chooses to appear young and beautiful. Some tales consider the Banshee more of a ghost. Yeah.
Yep.
So there's many, many more, and we'll talk about more of them if we have time, because most importantly, we have radio, and just behind that importance is Death Facts, Dave Facts, and we got more of those coming.
We got more coming.
We promises. However, it's onward to part two of The Many Names of Death.
There's a face that looks back at our own each time we gaze into a mirror. But is it always the same face? The quick answer, the automatic answer is yes, certainly, of course. This teaches that we should never answer anything without pausing for thought. We might get the same surprise that happened to Gerald Furlong. It was the same face, but it wasn't his.
Good morning, Mr. Furlong.
Good morning, Miss LaRue. Come into my office, please.
Yes, sir.
Now, Mr. LaRue, I have something to tell you.
Oh, I know. You want to fire me.
Well, I've been thinking. A man and his secretary, they spend considerable time together, and therefore they should have similar temperament.
You're too busy thinking to have fun.
Obviously, we don't have a similar temperament, Miss LaRue.
Very well. I'll go back to the pool, and you can get yourself another dried-up old maid to match the one you've got at home.
Now, see here.
Yes, what is it you want me to see?
How did you know I was going to fire you?
Well, you keep fighting your name. You're not a Gerald.
Look,
what are you fighting? You know, you never had a good time in your life.
Why should you care?
Because I'm in love with you.
That's impossible. We don't know each other. We have nothing in common.
Oh, that's all nonsense. You fall in love because you hear a certain tone in somebody's voice. You see a certain light in someone's eye.
But how can such a love be lasting?
Oh, who says love has to last? You know, love comes and goes. Love is. And then one day, it just isn't. And it's gone. And nobody knows why, and it doesn't matter, because sooner or later it will come again with someone else.
You're a strange girl.
Oh, we're all strange.
We can't talk here. I'll take you out to lunch.
No lunch.
Why not?
Because you must lose weight. I'll take you shopping. I like that jacket, and with the aqua shirt.
Oh, but I only wear white shirts.
Oh, that's all in the past, darling. Now look at yourself in the mirror.
No. Absolutely not.
But how can you tell?
Look, I just don't want to.
I insist now. Come on. Look in the mirror. Have you ever seen anything so handsome?
Well, it's...
It's a work of art.
Gerald.
No.
Gerald, this face, you see, it isn't my face anymore. Gerald, don't. Don't kill me.
I'm not killing you.
What are you saying, darling?
Darling, already?
Look, darling, I...
You can't do away with me, Gerald. We've been together too long. We built up our whole world together. You just can't get rid of me and get another image.
Well... What do you think, darling?
Fire her, you fool. Get rid of her. Walk out of here before it's too late. Save yourself.
I think...
What's there to think about? He'll take it. And now for some sportswear.
Good morning, darling.
Morning.
Bacon is ready. Will you have two eggs? We have cereal.
Just a cup of coffee.
But you must have breakfast.
No, I'm fine. Just coffee.
Darling, where did you get that suit?
Oh, I did some shopping last week. You like it?
Well, it looks a bit...
Yes?
Young for you.
Young?
And that shirt and the tie... Those colors are quite violent.
Violent?
It's hardly the image for a trust officer. And besides, dear, middle-aged men who strive for a juvenile look... only succeed in making themselves appear ludicrous.
Which is how I appear to you.
No, I didn't mean that. I only...
Oh, look, we shouldn't quarrel, especially today. I have to go to Chicago.
Oh?
Just for a few days. We have to investigate a financial...
But you'll never travel, dear.
Oh, I can't refuse this client.
No, I suppose not.
I'll cut the trip as short as I possibly can.
Yes, dear.
How do you like it?
I must say, it's convenient to the office.
Well, the rent was higher than you said you could go.
What? It's all right. Come here.
Oh. I must say, you learn fast.
I didn't have to learn. I always knew it. It's just out of practice, that's all.
Let me show you what I bought me this afternoon.
Look, I hope your account isn't overdrawn again.
Oh, it was a steal. My first mink cape.
Oh. Was it necessary?
No, that's not my Gerald.
The king of the army. It's the old trust officer speaking.
Oh, I just asked.
Don't you want me to keep warm?
Of course.
That's better.
What would you like to do tonight?
What are we supposed to be doing?
I'm supposed to be taking a client to a long and involved business dinner.
Oh, well, then let's go to the High Hat Club.
I think I heard of that place.
What'd you hear?
I don't think it's the kind of establishment I should be seen at.
Then what are we waiting for?
My turn again. I'll bet.
Marty!
Hi.
Hey, Gerald. This is Marty Traynor. He owns the place. Gerald Furlong.
How do you do?
Oh, Furlong, huh? That's a good name for a horse player.
Oh, he doesn't have to play with the horses, Marty. He's too skillful with his eyes.
I'm afraid it's beginner's luck.
When you're hot, you're hot. If you're on a streak, ride it.
I will.
Bet it all.
Hey, you won, darling. You won.
Let it ride.
Oh, darling, it's getting late.
Yes, I know.
You should be getting home.
Oh, I wish I didn't have to go.
So do I.
You know the right thing to do. I should divorce Cecily and we ought to get married.
Why should we get married?
Because we're in love.
Oh, weren't you in love with Cecily once?
Well, yes.
Ah, and that's why you married her, but it didn't help. It didn't keep your love alive.
You and I, we'll be different.
No, we won't. We may love each other till the day we die, and we may fall out of love tomorrow morning.
But I want us to keep our love.
Oh, love can't be a guaranteed investment. Isn't the here and now enough?
Gerald.
Huh?
Gerald, please don't kill me.
Oh. I better take a pill or see a doctor.
Why? Sick? You're killing me. No, no. Don't turn your face away. Look in the mirror. Look at me.
I'm looking.
Don't you see how I've changed?
We've never looked so good.
Soon, you'll have a new image. And what becomes of me? I'll be dead.
Frankly, I couldn't care less.
But I'm the only image you're comfortable with. I'm the only image you can live with.
I used to think so. I'm learning different.
You're a fool. Get rid of her.
Oh, no.
She'll get tired of you sooner or later. And then what would you have?
Elaine's what I've always wanted. I never had the nerve to let myself believe it.
You can't afford her.
Who says so?
The apartment, the clothes, the gifts, the jewels. And now the gambling.
Who knows more about gambling than I do? Haven't I gambled with investments all my life?
It's not the same thing.
Except this time I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying life.
It can turn all at once. It can sweep you away swiftly, suddenly, like a tidal wave. Gerald, get rid of her. You'll never know what hit you.
No.
She'll kill both of us.
I don't care. I don't care.
Gerald.
What do you want?
I thought I heard you talking to someone.
You what?
I heard you talking to someone.
Oh, come on. That's ridiculous.
I thought so, too, at first. But lately it seems... Well, you seem to be having angry conversations.
Indeed. About what?
I don't know, but I'm sure I hear voices.
You sure you're all right, dear? Is something wrong?
No.
No sounds like yes.
Oh, I suppose I'm a little bit lonesome these days. I see so little of you.
Look, darling, things are becoming impossible at the office. You know, the way the market is behaving.
I know. There are terrible pressures on you. Why don't you quit?
Quit?
Yes, dear, quit. Find something else.
It isn't easy to get a new job at 45.
But you don't look 45. You look at least 10 years younger.
Well, how would we make out while I was looking around?
Well, you've been very judicious with our money. We should have quite a bit put by.
Cecily... We don't have. In the present market, our holdings have... Well, they haven't done well. They've lost. They've lost considerable value.
Oh.
It's my fault. I'm sorry.
Well, there's my inheritance.
Oh, no. No, we couldn't...
It's $50,000.
No. We must never touch
it. It could help ease us along.
Cecily. Oh, Cecily. You're too good to me.
Don't say that. I love you. Let's start life all over. Is it something to think about?
Yes, it is something to think about.
Where are we going?
The usual place. What does that mean?
Oh, you just said the usual place, which means our lives are becoming predictable.
Well, don't you enjoy it there?
Tonight, I'd like to go dancing.
Hey, if dancing, Marty hires the best band in town.
How would you know? You never danced to it.
If you want to dance tonight, that's what we'll do.
Let's go somewhere else.
Why?
Because if we go to Marty's, you'll get involved in a card game.
No, I won't. I promise you.
Oh, you make that promise every night, and you break that promise every night.
Well, tonight will be different. You'll see.
Gerald, I want to go home.
Darling, we can't go just yet.
I see no reason why we can't do anything we please anytime we want to do it.
I've lost too much money.
So what? It's only money.
I can't quit now.
Oh, this place is becoming a bore.
I can't afford to.
And you're becoming a bore, too.
Don't say that. But I love you. Do you understand?
Well, I love you, too.
Just another half hour.
Mr. Furlong.
Yes, Marty.
Did we deal you in?
No, Gerald, no. Don't play with him, please. You can't beat him.
What are you talking about? The cards are going to come my way. I can feel it.
You can't beat him. His name is Martin.
What?
After Mars, the god of war. He's a child of Mars. Gerald, let's leave now.
Sure. Look, all I need is just one good pot.
Gerald, don't play with him.
All right, you go get your coat and meet me here.
Oh.
Well, Mr. Furlong, just you and I left, huh? So, no fight for the pot. I believe you were the opener.
500.
Oh, a very good bet. I think I'll raise. Make it 1,000.
And 1,000 better.
A man with confidence. However, another 1,000.
1,000 to you again, Marty.
Well, I must respect that. I call.
You should. I have a full house.
An excellent hand. Good enough to win most of the time, but not good enough this time.
What are you...
I have 4 little deuces.
Oh.
So let's see. In the pot where your overall bets are $5,500 and added to your previous indebtedness, we have a total of $35,000.
What? That's impossible.
I have your markers here, Mr. Furlong. Care to check the arithmetic?
Well, no, I don't carry $35,000 around with me in cash.
Who does? We can wait till tomorrow.
Gerald, are you ready to go? Gerald.
Yes. Yes, Elaine. We're ready to go.
He says he's ready to go, but the question is, where? Where do you go when you've just lost $35,000 that you don't have? Where do you go? And what do you do? Well, this could be as good a time as any for Gerald to find out if he can live up to his name, strong leader of men. We'll know everything when I return shortly with Act 3.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love.
Six or three or one.
Please don't give me problems. I'm catching a common cold. Sneezing, drip, congestion.
Give your cold a contact. For up to 12 hours continuous relief of those symptoms, you'd need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 ounces of Cold's liquid, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact.
I know, the tiny time pills.
Right. Both the others are things for aches and fever, and the liquid, something for coughs, not found in contact. Your cold, your choice.
Sneezing, drips, congestion? I'll take the contact.
Give your cold to contact. The sooner the better.
6 or 3 or 1. Take contact. Only as directed.
Jeez, I don't remember that commercial.
Oh! kind of a weird commercial there, but okay. Kind of country version of Give Your Code to Contact.
That's right. As we have just heard part two of The Many Names of Death, and that means it's time for scrolling. And scrolling. It's time for Death Facts, Dave Facts.
Death Fact. Dead bodies swell up like balloons after about 4 days due to release of gases and liquids. Dave Fact. So, then they're in perfect shape to run for political office. Death Fact.
Yes.
There are over 200 bodies on Mount Everest. Their bodies are so well preserved, they're used as trail markers. Dave Fact. That's it. I want a "You Are Here" sign posted on my headstone. Death Fact. In New York City, more people commit suicide than are murdered. Dave Fact. If I had to be a Jets or a Nets fan, I'd do myself in too. And Death Fact. Vending machines kill 13 people a year. Dave Fact. And then they keep your money. There you have it.
Only Dave can make death fun.
Hey, and I have a little surprise. I've been holding it for the GGSI papers. We have that for a little bit later. It's something that Dale, you and I would appreciate, and the GGSI papers, they would also appreciate being at one point from Northeast Ohio. They would appreciate that. So we'll have that tonight as well.
You hit my curiosity peaked.
Do you want to share it here, or shall we share it after the exciting conclusion?
We'll wait.
Okay.
I'll wait.
do you have some more names of death for us?
I do. In the Netherlands, and to a lesser extent, Belgium, the personification of death is known as Neger Hein or Pieta de Dude. Historically, he was sometimes simply referred to as Hein. Oh, I thought they were going to say the dude. and Hendrik or Uncle Hendrik. good old Uncle Hendrik. He killed me. Related archaic items are Benderman, which is Bone Man, or Scherminkle, a very meager person or skeleton. Yeah. And the Moe Man as a reference to his sigh. You know, mows people down, I guess. Now, that character predates Christianity, but was Christianized and likely gained its modern name and features with the sigh, the skeleton, the black robe, during the Middle Ages. Hein was a Middle Dutch name, originating as a short form of Heinrich. It was used to the comparable German concept of Freund Hein, whatever that means. Notably, many of the names given to death can also refer to the devil. I'll be darned.
Mm.
Yep, and let's see.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, just real quick. And in Middle Eastern, the Canaanites of the 12th and 13th century B.C. Levant personified death as the god Mot. Not the makers of applesauce, just Mot, M-O-T.
Oh.
He was considered a son of the king of the gods, El, E-L. His contest with the storm god Baal forms part of the myth cycle from the Ugaritic text. The Phoenicians also worshipped death under the name Mot, and a version of Mot later became Maweth, the devil or angel of death in Judaism. How about that?
Hmm.
Death has many, many names. Many names.
Many, 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 many names.
I just read the weirdest thing about life and death.
Okay.
It says that life is a sexually transmitted disease and death is the only and death is the only cure. How cheerful. How cheerful. What a funny note. God.
Now, if I were to say that, you would say, who are you and what did you do with Dave?
Yes, that's
true. But I can't ask that when you say it.
Well, I mean, I didn't try to make it super naughty. It's just a weird concept.
No. It's a weird, weird concept.
And another bleak look at death. There is no future either.
Yeah, that's true. Except on some particular episodes. Well, I guess it even killed him in Long Live Walter Jameson in the Twilight Zone with Kevin McCarthy. But I keep thinking of Escape Clause with David Wayne in the Twilight Zone, where he makes a deal with the devil or death and to be alive as long as he wanted. And he ended up accidentally killing his wife. He said he pushed her out the window, and they gave him life in prison. They gave him life in prison, and he wanted to try the electric chair. So that life in prison didn't work for him because he could live forever.
In the worst of places, yes.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So he went ahead and closed out his deal with the devil at that point. Anyway, we do have one more exciting part of the Mystery Theater yet, man. The guy's in a lot of trouble. I can't imagine. Last time I lost $35,000 or more in one night is when I bought my house. So, you know.
Yeah, this guy's got a gambling problem here, and weird things are happening to him. Let's see how this wraps up with the conclusion of the Many Names of Death.
I'm Hyman Brown, producer of Radio Mystery Theater. A year ago, I asked you to lend me your ears and your imagination to enjoy the unique experience of radio mystery and suspense. Your response far exceeded my most confident hopes. Listening to a radio play demands your participation. You set the scene, you visualize the people, and thus, for me, Radio Mystery Theater then becomes a personal relationship with you. Next Monday, January 6th, we mark our first anniversary and the start of another year. To celebrate, we're bringing you a week of tales by Edgar Allan Poe, 7 of his most chilling tales in modern radio adaptations. I hope you'll listen during our anniversary week, starting Monday and through all of 75, to enjoy our dramas as much as we enjoy presenting them. It's not the first time, it won't be the last time, a man will seek to change his image. But is an image like a shoe, a coat, a tie, something a man may take off and cast aside? Can an image refuse to be changed? Can it fight back? It's very late at night, after a disastrous evening, and Gerald Furlong is once again confronting an image in the mirror. The image he seeks to change. And until recently, it was such a quiet, unobtrusive, submissive image.
Now, would you leave Helene?
No.
She's ruined you.
I can't blame her.
Tell Cecily. Confess.
Why?
Where else can you get the money?
The money?
The $35,000 you gambled away.
I'll...
You'll what? You counted on Cecily's money. You knew it was there. That's why you gambled.
That's a lie.
Ah, you're talking to me.
I can raise it.
Where? How?
She loves me. She let me have it.
That's what I've been telling you. Confess to Cecily. Confess everything.
No, not Cecily. Helene. Helene, I'm in over my head. Please help me.
Of course.
I knew you would. That's what love is. Now, your necklace, your bracelet, and the furs.
You want me to sell them?
We can raise quite a bit of money. Maybe not all of it, but enough to give me breathing room.
I see.
I'll make it up to you later.
Darling, I won't do it.
But you...
We're in love.
Yes?
You said you'd help me.
Help you in the right way. The way you should be helped.
What do you mean?
The way a man named Gerald should be helped.
I don't understand.
Gerald, strong leader of the army. Are you going to bow down before the demands of a cheap gambler?
I lost the money.
Well, how do you know you lost it, honestly? How do you know the cards weren't fixed?
I don't.
Well, stand up to him. Refuse to pay him.
What? But he'll...
He'll what? Gambling's against the law here. His club is illegal. He has no claims on you. He can't go to court about it.
Yes, but still...
Still? Are you going to hold still? Be Gerald. This is how I love you. This is how I help you.
Yes. Yes, he has no legal claim. You're right.
Yeah, you're right, Mr. Furlong. Absolutely right. I have no legal recourse.
Then I shall say good day to you, sir.
But I have other alternatives.
Yes, I can imagine.
Can you?
I can imagine that you'll try to frighten me with your underworld connections.
Underworld connections? You've seen too many movies.
Think you can scare me with strong-arm tactics? I'm not afraid of you.
Why should you be?
Or anyone else. I've been in a war. I know how to use a weapon. I have one in my house. I can defend myself, and I will.
Now, you are a trust officer for an important brokerage house,
huh? Oh, I see. Blackmail. I'm not afraid. I'll deny I was ever in here.
You can't. You see, we have proof.
What do you mean by proof?
Well, now, when I press this button, that white screen comes down from the ceiling. And another button, and we have a projector. And now we have a motion picture, and look who the hero is.
Oh, why, it's you. I don't believe it.
Ah, Mr. Furlong, isn't it true? One picture is worth a thousand words. How well you photograph. I mean, there you are, betting, raking in the money. Oh, you are a gambler, sir. That's obvious. How you relish what you're doing, huh? Well, have you seen enough?
What will you do with it? Show it to my management people?
Oh, yes.
Well, it won't do any good. They'll fire me. That won't get you your money.
Oh, yes, it will.
What do you mean? They're not responsible
for
what
I... Now, listen, we exhibit this little documentary. We tell your management unless they make good on your debt, we will show the picture to their clients. We will say to them, here is how a man who handles your money amuses himself in his spare time. Is he doing this with your money? I think your management will pay us off, don't you?
You...
Violence? Who needs violence when this kind of persuasion is so much more, persuasive?
I need time.
Of course. Take a few days. Take a week. Even more. And think about it. I'm sure something will occur to you.
Elaine? Elaine? The place. It's empty. What happened? She's gone. She's disappeared and she took everything. What's this paper? Darling, love comes, love goes. And for us, it's over. Think about me as I shall think about you. And remember always, remember your name is Gerald, strong leader of a host. She's gone. She's gone.
Of course she's gone. What did you expect?
Where are you?
Where do you think I am? Look in the mirror.
A mirror? What?
A small mirror with a pearl-encrusted border. She was going to take it along with everything else, but she forgot. Well, what are you going to do now?
Now, I'm going to...
It's not too late. Get down on your knees to Cecily. Pray to her to forgive you.
Never. No, not to her. Not to Cecily.
You can't afford to have pride.
I'll get the money somehow.
Oh, no. Not that way. I know what you're thinking.
Look, it's the only way.
I won't let you. I won't let you kill her. I'll stop you.
It'll be a burglar.
No!
Yes, a burglar. And he killed her.
No. No, Gerald.
That's how it happened. I've got the gun at home.
Don't do it, Gerald. She'll be angry, but in the end, she'll forgive you.
They'll have an alibi. They'll never be able to prove
Gerald,
it.
Gerald, don't. Don't kill her for her money.
I have to.
I won't let you.
You can't stop me.
I can warn Cecily.
How could you? You can't.
I'll stop you. I'll kill you first.
Cecily? Cecily, where are you?
Here. I'm here, darling, in the living room.
Oh. How are you?
As well as can be expected.
What does that mean?
Considering that my husband has, A, deceived me with another woman, B, squandered every dollar he has in the world, and C, plans to murder me for my inheritance, I don't feel too badly.
What on earth are you...
Is it true?
Where could you possibly get such a crazy idea?
You told me.
I told you?
Yes. Strangest thing happened. I was sitting at the mirror combing my hair. And I looked in the mirror and it wasn't my face at all, but yours.
That's impossible.
And you started to talk to me. And you told me everything, including the fact that you want to kill me.
No, it isn't true. Look, how could you see my face in the mirror?
But I did. And you spoke to me.
It could have been a dream.
Perhaps. But does it matter?
Darling, I love you. Why would I?
I suppose I've been blind, but no more.
I wish I could convince you.
What are you looking for in that drawer?
I'm not looking for anything.
That's not true. You were looking for this.
Cecily, don't. You couldn't shoot me?
No, I couldn't. I'm not like you.
Why are you pointing that pistol at me?
Get out.
Get out?
This is no longer your home. I'm no longer your wife. And I'm holding this gun because as long as I hold it, you won't be able to kill me.
Cecily, you're mad. It's all in your imagination.
Stay just where you are.
Well, we've been married 22 years. We love each other.
Not another step, I warn you.
Cecily, you wouldn't shoot me. You couldn't.
Stop.
Give me that gun.
No.
Drop it.
No,
it'll
you want to kill me. Help.
Shut up.
Help me, somebody. He wants to kill me.
I'll help you.
Keep out of this. You keep out of it.
Let go of her.
Get back in the mirror where you belong.
No, I don't. I don't belong there anymore. You have another image.
Get away.
Let her go. Let her.
Gerald.
He saved you, Cecily. He saved you.
Gerald.
He's a better man than I am.
Who?
Look in the mirror.
Let me get a doctor.
Look in the mirror. In the mirror. Do you see him?
Him? I don't see him.
Then he's gone too. He's gone.
Gerald. Oh, Gerald.
They're both gone, Gerald and the image. I know we have the realists in the house and the psychologists who will tell us that they can reduce it all to a matter of the inner self, split personality, guilty conscience. Well, to each his own. It could have been an image acting independently. Proof, absolute proof, is missing for both sides. I'll return in a few minutes.
In God We Trust, America Speaks. In the words of John F. Kennedy, the torch has been passed to a new generation, born in this century, tempered by war, disciplined by a hard and bitter peace, proud of our ancient heritage, and unwilling to witness or permit the slow undoing of those human rights to which this nation has always been committed. With a good conscience, our only sure reward, with history the final judge of our deeds, let us go forth to lead the land we love, asking His blessing and His help. But knowing that here on earth, God's work must truly be our own. Presented by the Catholic Communications Foundation.
A French philosopher once said, "We leave a part of ourselves behind us each day." That's true. But where do we leave it? Sometimes a very close and introspective look in the mirror might help us arrive at the answer. Answers, so much in demand and so short in supply. However, we do have the full answer for your mystery, suspense, and excitement needs right here. Our cast included Alexander Scourby, Laurie March, William Redfield, and Marion Haley. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Perhaps you can try to take up your life again.
I must see her, Gordon.
See her?
That's why I'm here. Why I asked you here. I must see her, Gordon. Gaze upon her lovely face once more.
But she's buried a week ago, you said.
In the family vault on the Buckingham Estate. I want to go there tonight. Force entry into the vault. Open her coffin. And look at her once more. Just once more. I need you because I fear to go alone.
There is more to fear than that, Guy.
What do you mean?
A body, dead and buried for a week in a damp and virtually airless vault. Guy, you will not see Victorine as she was in life.
I shall see her.
Guy, this is mad. I beg you to...
I must! I don't care what she has become. I must see her once more.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
Death be a lady tonight.
That's luck.
Oh, luck.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
But you know what? I was able to arrive at a wee bit of a moral for us for tonight.
Oh, good when you're done heavens.
Scrolling, when you're done scrolling.
A moral, you say?
A moral you shall have.
Nervously, Erie House Radio proudly presents a garrulous moral of the story.
With apologies to Gar, when your mirror image makes more sense than you do, it's time to break the mirror. 7 years bad luck or not. There we go.
What's your job, Marvel?
That was a double.
Yeah,
I'll never know.
Yeah, you got a bonus sound. That way you don't have to give one when we give our last set of Death Facts, Day Facts.
Bill, wait a minute now. Let's not jump the gun. Death Facts, Day Facts.
Death Fact! Wait. That's the one I did last time. Wait a second. What happened here? Okay.
I guess we don't have the facts. We can start our own.
Okay. Well, let's do this one. I have three. I must have gone through four of them in that last one. Oh, no. It's the same one. Okay. So I have three. Three. Count them. Three more. Death fact, stay fact. Death fact. More people die from selfies than from shark attacks. Stay fact. But that last picture was a real keeper. Death fact. Mistakes on doctor's notes, mainly due to messy handwriting, kills over 7,000 people in the U.S. each year. Same fact. From now on, I'm only letting my car mechanic write out my prescriptions. And final death fact, a fact. Between 1 and 9 minutes after death, a person's pupils begin to dilate and cloud over. Day fact, this can also happen during really good or really bad sex. Exactly.
Who are you and what have you done with Dave?
Today will be known as the Naughty Show. The Naughty Show.
But you know what isn't naughty? Something we've been saving for the GGSI papers. We've had this for several weeks on here, and now they're back in chat. And this is really for anybody who is from Northeast Ohio. But since we're from Northeast Ohio, and we are from Northeast Ohio, it's a cute little song, even without knowing that. But with knowing these areas, it makes it that much more fun. So here we go!
Hi there, new teletimers. Yesterday we've scoured that greater Cleveland area and come up with a winner tonight. Here is, without further ado, our new talent for tonight. Oh, bright and sprightly. And, well, let's have the names here, first of all.
I'm Bill Hubey. How are you?
Oh, but I didn't realize we had a dialogue. Yes, your name?
Jay Perry.
And?
Doug Anderson.
And where are you from?
Cleveland. All from Cleveland.
Very good. What's your talent?
We're going to sing this evening an original bicentennial song written in honor of our fair city called, they called it Cleveland.
That's the spirit. Here they are, the Cheesecake Theater of the Air.
There is no hunting in Hunting Valley.
Bang, bang.
There are no willows in Willowby.
In Willowby.
There's neither beech nor wood in Beechwood, but that's good because they'd only get polluted rapidly.
That's for sure.
Don't go to Broadview to view the broad. Don't go to Strongsville to see the fight, to see the fight. You'll never find any pepper in dear old Pepper Pike until you reach the salt and pepper shaker Heights. Middleburg Heights is nowhere near the middle,
and they've never made a gate at Gates Mill.
Oh, but they may, and much of our chagrin falls upon the mess we're in because a Bentley can't be found in Bentleyville.
Only a Rolls.
I got diarrhea in Berea and in Haynesville Jigger Bites. I found some maple trees in Oakwood and an oak in Maple Heights, and where the Cuyahoga River cleaves the land right in two, they called it Cleveland. Wouldn't you? They called it Cleveland. Wouldn't you?
Oh, I'm awfully sorry, a gallant trio of losers there. Gentlemen, you're almost as good as Eugene Hagler. We never say that to everybody, you know. Don't call us, we'll call you.
That sounded like Bob Houlihan Wells.
It was. That was new talent time on the original Houlihan and Big Chuck show. And
I did not hear them mention one particular suburb, however.
Which one? Parma. They did not say. Did you say? They did not say Parma?
Yeah, it's just to feed you the line so we can do this again. Hey, all right. That was awesome, Fogsbane. Naturally, that was about various communities in our area around Cleveland, the suburbs. Although one thing I will say about Gates Mills, which they brought up, it is something of a gated community.
Ah.
It's a very wealthy community.
And they used to have the front row theater there, which I did on many occasions go to.
Oh, yeah. Back in the day, the front row. We had awesome venues, folks, for people to see live shows that maybe weren't, like, huge enough to fill a coliseum, or they were exclusive events, like, what was that other one, the like a carousel or whatever? The carousel, yeah. We had the carousel,
yeah.
We had front row theater, we had...
And both of those are theaters that were in the round, but the difference about the front row theater, not only was it a theater in the round, but the stage itself rotated around, where usually theater in the round is the audience is all around you. You don't have a backside where, you know, of the stage.
I have a backside, all right.
Out of a stage to hide around. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's getting larger and larger as time progresses.
Yep, yep, yep.
But like the rest of me, they say you stop growing at a certain age. Oh no, you don't.
you just go out instead of up. That's all.
Yes, in different dimensions. That's all it is. A little different dimension. Oh boy!
The DGSI papers today were from Garfield. It wasn't that. What was it? Garfield. Thanks for sharing. It was great. Okay. They were from Garfield Heights, and then they moved to Richfield, which they certainly were not rich.
Richfield is nice though. It's wide open.
It is.
It's
and it is wide open, very hilly and nasty nasty in the wintertime, I would think.
Yes it is. Yes it is. I used to live in Peninsula, not too far from Richfield, and having to drive through there sometimes to get like to places of employment or what have you, and it is some real fun going up and down those hills in some really snowy weather.
Yeah.
Fun in quotes, you know.
Yeah, like at the beginning of the mystery theater where they said there's certain paths you need to wear your chains. That means putting your chains on tires. My grandfather used to do that around Lima when you before you had all season tires. You know, you had studded snow tires and you had chains, and you could only use the chains till a certain date, and then you had to take off the studded snow tires by another certain date because it helped tear up the roads. So.
Yes, they did. They were rough on the cement, but they were also rough on ice and snow. And hey, it did help, but it was rough on the roads.
Yeah. But so do we have any more names of death there, Dale?
Let's see. Yeah, in ancient Greek religion and Greek mythology, Thanatos is one of the twin sons of Nyx, or the Night. And like her, he is seldom portrayed directly. Sometimes appears in art as a winged and bearded man, occasionally as a winged and beardless youth. When he appears together with his twin brother Hypnos, the god of sleep, it generally represents a gentle death. Like you don't want to see one without the other, right? Well, because if Thanatos is led by Hermes, takes the shade of the deceased to the near shore of the river Styx, where the ferryman, Charon, on a payment of a small fee, conveys the shade to Hades, the realm of the dead, according to Homer's Iliad. Yep.
Ah, okay. Very cool. Very cool stuff.
Ooh. Among other children of Nyx are Thanatos' sisters, the Caries, blood-drinking, vengeant spirits of violent or untimely death, portrayed as fanged and taloned with bloody garments.
Okay.
And Our Lady of the Holy Death, Santa Muerta, is a female deity or folk saint of Mexican folk religion, whose popularity has been growing in Mexico and here in the States in recent years. And since the pre-Columbian era, Mexican culture has maintained a certain reverence towards death and is seen in the widespread commemoration of the Day of the Dead. I've seen a lot of the artwork. It's kind of cute. They're very colorful skulls. And what was that one? I think it was a Disney. If not, it was a Pixar what was it, Coco or something, about a dead guy.
Yeah, that was.
It was a pretty cute story. It was a pretty cute story.
Yep. Well, we might have time for a quick song or a quick wheel before
I'm
we
all down,
exit
I'm
the...
down with the music, man. You put in some good ones here. Not that
yeah,
the,
okay.
the bits, but time-wise, I think we're much better served with a tune.
All right.
And let's put something good here. I'm not even going to put a nickel in the jukebox. I'm going to bump it like Fonzie on Happy
Like
Day.
Fonzie, okay.
Yeah,
cool.
There you go.
There you go.
Isn't this pleasant? Footsie, darling, angel, honey, baby. You're the only one that I adore. Seems that every day I love you, baby. More and more and more and more. If I keep on calling you those love names, don't you really think perhaps in time, Tootsie, darling, angel, honey, baby, maybe you'll be willing to be
Dave, in Poland, Death, Smerch, or Kostuch has an appearance similar to the Grim Reaper, although its robe was traditionally white instead of black. Sure, why clash with your socks? Because the word Smerch is feminine in gender, Death is frequently portrayed as a skeletal old woman, as depicted in 15th century dialogue, something here in Polish that I can't read, followed by something in Latin I can't read. In Serbia and other South Slavic countries, the Grim Reaper is known as Smrt, S-M-R-T, Smrt, or Kosach, Billhook. Slavic people found this very similar to the devil and other dark powers. There you have it. Many, many names.
There we go.
I didn't even get to Scandinavia or anywhere else in the world. Any weirdness really bad?
What do we got going on next? What do we got? I was just going to say, what do we got going on next week, Dale?
Nothing. We quit. No. Next week, no more death. We're walking on glass, man. So we're going to show you our glass right here on Erie House of Suspense, the Whistler Black Museum, Studio One. Oh, so much more. So that'll be Friday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern.
Yep. And Studio One on Sunday, or Saturday. Saturday. There we go.
Yeah, and any weirdness, really bad sightings coming up?
Oh, working on one right now. Got it on the editing table. I got some bloopers to put together here, and I'm ready to wrap that, make that one so.
Yep, and check our page. There's a link for beta, whatever. I don't know, but you can see
Betamax.
Some of Dave's shows on there. It's a Roku channel. It's really cool. I have it.
Yeah, Betamax.
That's where I go
when
I want my weirdness, really bad fix.
That's right, because Dale's the one Dale's in, the ice, blonde ice is on there as well. So
there's lots of good ones. There's lots of good ones. Well, I guess no Vincent Price tonight, except for
the
this.
Castle lights are growing dim.
There's no one left but me and him. Well, next week, forget it. Goodbye. See you next week.
I told you my timer was off.
I was going to try to do a sped up version, and then I stumbled, and I said, I punted.
Oh, my.
I'll find a way to blame that one on Blog Talk, even though that was...
Well, blame it on their timer, because my timer still said when you started, my timer still said you had like 23 seconds left.
No,
it was me.
I was watching the timer and I had a pretty good feel for where I was based on her couple of counts. I'll take the hit for that one. I fouled up, huh?
I probably yapped too much. My clock was too far off.
Did you just hear Joe? He yelled at me.
No, I didn't hear him.
I don't know what he wants.
Maybe he wants to go up there.
He's probably mad because he wants more old-time radio.
Could be. Could be. Yeah. We've got a lot going. I got to update this. When I get this all updated on the accounts here, I will send this off to you, Dale, so you can see where we're at and where we're going. We have now reached over the 900 radio show mark. Well, actually well over, because that was from like 3 weeks ago.
Oh, good heavens! We're going to be hitting the 1,000 mark.
Well, we're heading there. We're heading there quickly. Yeah, 900. We're
we
heading
may
there,
get there
pretty
this
quickly.
Year. How many weeks left? Grumble, grumble. 20 times five. Yeah, we should make 1,000 this year.
It'll be close. It'll be close.
When you throw in Halloween, we'll make 1,000.
Oh yeah. Hey, you know what? I'm not sure what you think about that. There was a 6-part. BBC series, The Day of the Triffids, from 1960. You know, that's an interesting thing that you could do for a multi-part broadcast.
Because that was a cool movie. That impressed me when I was young. It was a neat introduction to how the one guy was immune to being blinded.
So we have plenty of time to figure out what's going on there, but other than that... it was just a thought to throw out there. You're allowed to throw
it. I like
it. But I did have.
I love Triffids. Love me some Triffids.
They're great with gravy.
Yes, they are. Butter and onions.
Oh, my.
Everything goes good with butter and onions, pretty much.
Yeah. Well, you get real butter anymore?
Olive oil. Actually, I use oil.
I get things like, you know, I can't believe it's not butter, and it isn't. You know, I believe
it. I know it's not. No.
Yeah. I was raised on margarine, although when I married Laura, she does a lot of cooking. She used to do a lot of cooking with butter. Now she uses some of these other things instead.
Yeah.
They're supposed to be healthier.
Denise cooks with like margarine, but I like for toast or whatever. I like butter. I don't have it often, maybe once or twice a week. It's not like I cream everything up with butter, but there's a few things I gotta have real butter.
I tell you what, I don't
or
have
fried
toast
eggs.
That often.
I gotta have real butter.
Yep. Now when I have toast, I don't have it that often. But when I do, I love it drowning in butter. Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh, this one. The kids are trying to get me to be healthier, and they keep trying to sneak in this canola oil mix with butter or whatever. But the same company makes this butter with garlic in it. Oh, my gosh. Get you some fat bread, some really thick sliced bread, and you can make your own garlic bread. It's awesome. It's like
Texas
toast that way. And it's just as good as any other garlic bread you've ever had.
My wife makes a lot of her own garlic bread in a toaster oven, and nice. She does that and adds onion flakes and some things like that. It is great.
Awesome.
Guaranteed for heartburn for at least a day and a half. It's well worth it.
Well worth it, yes. Yeah. No, I don't fry much with butter. I try to use olive oil for. There's a vegetable stand by us. Oh my gosh. I always go there before I do grocery shopping because they have stuff so much cheaper. And you know, it's pretty much doesn't have any kind of like chemical sprayed on it to make it last longer because it's a roadside stand, you know?
Yeah.
And they got these like massive cucumbers. They're like $2 for $1.
Yeah.
Like a massive zucchini is like $1. Huh. Pretty soon it's corn season. That's one thing Wellington, if people come in from out of town for, there's a lot of, cornfields and it is like tremendous sweet corn. Awesome.
Nothing wrong with that.
Tis the season.
Except the corn has a lot of natural sugar in it. You got to be careful of that stuff.
It also has a ton of fiber, which is an offset.
Well, that's true. That's true.
A small offset. It depends. Like when I do eat something out of a box, I read it. And like if the fiber content is percentage wise is comparable to the sugar, it's pretty safe actually. Actually, a lot of people are recommending more of an Atkins type diet for diabetes. Diabetes.
Oh, okay.
I might go in that direction, but I will miss some of my carbs.
Yeah. It's hard to give up those carbs. You know, when you grow up on butter, bread, and potatoes, you know.
Oh, my gosh. And it's, you know, when you don't have a lot of money, that's the fodder you had, you know.
Well, that's what, yeah, we had a lot of chicken, a lot of potatoes, peanut butter, and bread. That was a lot of what we had growing up.
Yeah. Yep. We remember those big loaves of Wonder Bread with the dots on them, the colorful dots?
Oh, well, those are balloons, man, balloons.
Balloons.
Yeah.
I think it was Wonder Bread. I remember there was like a premium inside for the lunar landing, and it was this big, complicated, like, cardboard thing you folded up to make a lunar lander. Well, like, I don't know, 100 different pieces to it, it seemed like, or at least 50. That you had to bend, and when you were done, you made a lunar lander. It was pretty cool.
Hmm. That is cool.
Wonder what happened to it. There used to be premiums of bread. There'd be trading cards sometimes.
Yeah, trading cards. Yeah, I remember the trading cards, yeah.
And cereal, too.
Yeah, and cereal used to put on those Evatone sound sheets of the Archies and... I think Bobby Sherman and all kinds of things.
Oh God, Gar should be in on this conversation because he likes toys and items. But
I remember a lot of the different premiums
with cereal. There was even sometimes like there'd be a clear plastic record. It'd be very thin and very flexible, but it would play.
Yeah, that's the Evatone sound sheets there. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that what those are called? I did not know that.
Yep. They're out of Chicago, Illinois. As some people would say, Illinois, what the rest of people would say.
Yep. And being a record man, I figured you'd know about those and a sound.
I actually explored maybe making one of those once for, with some of our early Weirdness Radio stuff.
That'd be cool.
That would have been cool.
Eerie
that
would have
been cool. You know what? I wonder if they still make those.
I don't know. It'd be cool.
Let me see. Evatones. Is it Evatone? Is that what it was? Evatone.
I don't know.
That's Evatone. Evatone. EVA.
Coming soon. Eerie House merchandise. No.
Out of Deerfield, Illinois. Here we are. Go away, show purpose. Go away. Go away. Go away. Go away. I can't see. Okay. 62 to 71, 71 through 79, 79 through 98. Yeah, it's the Evatone Sound Sheets is a U.S. manufacturer of Flexi Disc Sound Sheets. Eva company relocated to Clearwater, Florida in 1979, was renamed the Evatone Sound Sheets. Geez, just get away. Just doggone it. I don't know if add app, get directions. Click one. Oh, that's Map Assist. I don't want that. So many of these things on here. Steve Allen was on one. Billy and the Boingers. Isn't that Bloom County, right? Billy and the Boingers?
I think so, come to think of it. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a 6-inch Flexi. Steve Allen was the theme of Port LaBelle on a 7-inch Flexi. Well, these are ones that are for sale, I guess. Or maybe not. I don't know. Unknown artist songs from Benji's Holiday Specials. Boots Rhythm Breakers. Hi, James Rapp. No artist. Talking Books Topics. Oh, yeah, Talking Books did that for a while, too. I forgot that. Yeah. That before they went to cassettes, they were using they used hard press records. Then they went to Evatone Sound Sheets. Then they went to the cassettes.
Ah.
So I had forgotten that.
Cool.
But I don't see that there's still sublabels. Evatone, Evatype, Monster Fun Record, Evatone Incorporated.
Monster Fun?
Monster Fun Record. Wouldn't that be great for that? A series of stories. Monster Fun Record does a series of stories featuring Burger Chef and Jeff and host of creepy creatures. The record measures 6 inches in diameter and comes with a variety of bright colors. There were a total of 6 stories distributed with fun meals as Halloween promotion in 1977. They were manufactured by the Evatone Sound Sheets of Deerfield, Illinois.
That's cool. Somebody out there has that in their collection. You can bet.
Yeah. They got them right here. I don't think you can play them, but...
People collect everything.
Everything. Excited. Yeah, it'd be funny if they had these things where you could play them. There it is. There's a yellow one, Monster Records. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. The fun record, Transylvania's Big Game, is that one. Wow.
Nice.
That would be, that would be kind of fun. We could take some of the stuff that we've done from some of the extras on Erie House and throw them on there as a...
This is one
little,
we got to finish.
A little fun thing.
This is one we get...
yeah. But it doesn't appear... that they are still in business.
Ah.
If they'd only made it till the vinyl came back again,
Yep. That would have been great. Fun thing.
Yeah,
so
that would have been
stuff,
fun.
So much stuff with cereal. I remember, sometimes there'd be a big thing of plastic in there and you'd snap all these parts together and you get a little car with a cartoon character or something.
Yeah.
Do you have any memories of any particular toys that you got from cereal?
Toys from cereal? I was more interested in the ones that had the records with them.
Of course.
And that wasn't a lot of them. They were kind of spread out. I can't think of any great toy I got with it. Actually, there were some that had some really cool games on the back of the box as well.
Yeah, there was a lot of that.
Those I kind of remember. I don't really remember a particular toy I got out of a cereal box. I remember when there was something like that, it was way down at the bottom of the box. Way down at the bottom of the box.
Yes, you had to eat all the damn cereal first.
I know, and that stuff's not supposed to be healthy for you, so.
Yeah, I still have some every once in a while, and it's lame now. It's like, hey, kids, log on to here. Okay. Great. Why do I have to log on? I'm sitting here eating cereal. Amuse me.
Yeah.
Amuse me. We had it in the 60s and 70s, damn it.
Yep,
Monster cereals. Captain Crunch and the Waffle Beast or whatever.
Yeah, waffle, the Wiffle Waffler.
Yeah.
Whiffle?
Yep. Yep, yep. And John LaFleur.
Quisp and Quake.
Quisp and Quake. I loved Quisp. Quake wasn't too bad. It was very much like Captain Crunch, I think.
Yeah. Quake was a lot like Captain Crunch, yes.
In texture and taste. And Quisp was those little flying saucer things.
Yeah.
That was my favorite. I think just because I like the character, the little alien dude, the pink dude with the propeller on his head.
Yeah.
His green
that was,
suit.
I think that was Dawes Butler that did the voice of that.
Oh, really?
Oh, he was Quisp. I don't know if he was. I don't know who Quake was, but I know Quisp was pretty sure because when I featured that in one of my shows, I had a Quisp commercial in there, and when I listened to it the second time, that's Dawes Butler. Yes, it was.
I wouldn't be surprised if he was Quake. Whoever it was, a very manly voice, Quake. Quake cereal.
But Quisp the alien was definitely a good old Dawes Butler.
Yep, and definitely the coolest of the two.
It was. He was the coolest because he was just a... The other guy was just a tough guy, a big tough.
Before I die, I got to get a Quisp T-shirt. I get a lot of cool T-shirts, as you know, Dave. When we go to the trade shows like Gulardi Fest or whatever, I got to get me a good T-shirt. And one of these days, I think what was it called? Fun. They moved. What was it called? They were in. Chagrin area, not Chagrin, but the novelty place. They had all the cool old school collectible items.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Big fun. They were called Big Fun.
Yeah. Well, you know what it is? There's three cereals we forgot to talk about that were fun, created just for fun and for selling to kids. You had the Count Chocula, the
Monster cereals, yes.
Yeah, and the blueberry.
Blueberry, and for a while they had Fruit Brute. They had a fruity one. Fruit Brute was a werewolf type character. And Yummy
right.
Mummy. I hate to use that expression. I just do. For some odd reason, but those two didn't last. Just the main three.
Yeah,
and I think blueberry is seasonal.
Yeah, blueberry is seasonal. Are the other ones not seasonal? Can you get the Count Chocula and I know they show up extra in Halloween time. Count Chocula and the Frankenberry.
Yeah,
but the blueberry is something that only comes up only at Halloween time. That's for sure.
I think so. Now, my store doesn't get it until until near Halloween time. It's not like a regular fair. But,
Well, Dale, all this talk is making me hungry to go down and have a bowl of cereal.
Or ice cream.
So, but we've been talking cereal, so I'm going to go out and have some cereal. Yeah.
Sounds good. I guess it's time to get that guy with the big proboscis.
The big... Yep, that's right. Bring in the schnoz.
Good night. Good night. Good night.
Good night.
It's time to say good night.
Wah, 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 wah.
Good night. Good night.
Wah, 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 wah.
What more is this say but good night? We've had a few laughs, and it's time for toodaloo. Arrival up we the same and
ink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a-dink-a
Good night, folks. And good night, Mrs. Calabash, wherever you are.
We miss you, Gar.
We do.